ॐ अज्ञान क्षिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुथापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां सागरजातां सहगना रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्त राधा कान्त नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनिभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरि 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 राम 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 हरि हरि नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी नित्य नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी अस्तत्यदेशतारिणे हरे कृष्ण आई एम वेरी ग्रेटफुल वेरी ऑनर्ड एंड मोस्ट हैप्पी to be here with you in this holy place of pilgrimage, Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Temple. Today, there was much difficulty getting from one place to another because of the marathon where people are running. And I was thinking, is there any philosophical meaning that we can learn from by contemplating a marathon? Can I give you my thoughts? In Sanskrit, Mara means death. So we can say the marathon is more or less what the whole world is trying to do. Everyone's trying to run from death. But there's a beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ayur Harati Vai Pungsam. With every rising and setting of the sun, we are all one day closer to death. But for those who utilize their time to hear and chant the glories of Uttama Sloka, the Supreme Lord, with every rising of the setting of the sun, we are one day closer to eternal life. So in this world, through so many material efforts, people are trying to run away from death. People fear death because it's inevitable. Why do we fear death? It's so natural. Because it is an unnatural experience to the soul. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. The soul does not die when the body dies. Najayate mriyate vakadachi. The soul is eternal, unborn, undying, primeval. But for the body, janma, mrityu, mara, vyadi, birth, old age, disease, and death are inevitable. And we suffer because when we're so attached to thinking in this misconception that I am this body and I'm the mind, then we fear inevitable death because it's totally disorienting for the soul to think it will die. It never dies. So in this material world, Prahlad Maharaj has explained the solutions that we make to the problems, those solutions create more difficult problems than the original problem. So through economy, through medicine, through technology, through politics, everyone, due to bhaya, due to fear, is trying to run away from suffering and death. But the problem is, by the nature of time, we are all running toward death. But when we learn to taste the sweetness of hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord, when we learn to remember Krishna, antakali chamameva, then we are actually running to eternal life. So I guess we could call it the amarathon, the race toward deathlessness, eternality. I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada just this morning. In this recording, he was explaining how the soul, being part of Krishna, mamaivam so jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. He explained that because we're part and parcel of Krishna, we have the same qualities of Krishna. And Prabhupada is speaking scientifically. He was saying, this is science. You take a drop of water from the ocean and you analyze the drop, and it will have the same proportion of salt in that drop as the entire ocean. Qualitatively one. Because we're part of Krishna, Ananda Mayobhyashat. The Vedanta Sutra tells that Krishna is full of pleasure. He's always seeking satisfaction through rasa. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. And being a part of Krishna, we are also seeking that pleasure. Because it is our nature. Prabhupada said, fog. There's a dense fog within our minds, within our perceptions, within and without of reality. And therefore we can see nothing as it is. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes translate Maya as that which is not. Illusion. What is the illusion? Very different from what the Mayavad misconception is, that the world is false. That which is not means the illusion is we are not seeing things as it is. In connection to Krishna. When we think I am this body, that is illusion. But when we understand I'm in this body, I'm an eternal soul. In this body is God has given me, Krishna has given me to render service to him in this world. That is knowledge, that is truth. Srila Prabhupada explained that when he left Mumbai to Calcutta and took the Jaladuta cargo ship, he was going across the Atlantic Ocean on this 38-day voyage from Calcutta to New York City. And he said, in some places, there was such dense fog in the middle of the ocean. He said there was nothing the boat could do except stop. Couldn't see anything. And he said in that situation, they just stopped and kept blowing their horn. You know, these boat horns are very loud. They're called fog horns. That's actually what they're called. Like that. They sound kind of sound like big cows, actually. The reason is because you can't see anything. So another boat will just come and crash into you. So you're just sitting there for hours and hours and hours at a time, blowing your horn, hoping nobody crashes. And there's nothing anyone could do to remove that fog. There's no science. There's no technology. There's no app. An anti-fog app. Because fog is covering all directions. And when fog is dense, it's insurmountable. The only thing that can remove the fog is the sun. When the sun rises high enough so its light and heat are manifesting, then it dissipates the fog. And in the same way, this fog of Maya, illusion, misconception, there's nothing we can do to remove it. Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivi yeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamevam ye prapadyante mayameta tarantite. That this material energy, this divine energy of mine, Maya, which is conducted by the three modes of nature, tamaguna, rajaguna, and sattvaguna, it's very difficult to overcome. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. Maya is Krishna's energy. Maya is all powerful. There's nothing a jiva, there's nothing a part and parcel Atma can do to overcome Maya. Nitya Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Ekopahunam Yogadadikama. We're always subordinate. The plural, infinitesimal living entities, the souls, are always subordinate to Krishna. And in our subordination, we have free will to choose to either be subordinate to Krishna's internal energy or external energy, his divine energy or his illusory energy. But this illusory energy is Krishna's energy, all-powerful, insurmountable. There's nothing we could do, especially in our conditioned state. But in this verse from Bhagavad Gita, if we take shelter of Krishna, then we can easily cross beyond it. With the same analogy, if we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna is like the sun, Lord Chaitanya said. And when that sun of Krishna's presence manifests by Krishna's sweet will within our hearts and minds, then it dissipates the fogs of illusion. And as that fog is removed, Krishna tells in Gita, when we thus know the truth, we understand that we're all part of Krishna. We're all in Krishna, and Krishna is within all of us. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. We're eternal servants of Krishna. Then the joy of our life in every situation is simply to serve. Vita daga baya krodha manmayama mupashita bhavo genatapasaputa madbhavam agataha. Fourth chapter of Gita, Krishna tells, being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past have become purified by knowledge of me and have attained transcendental love for me. The perfection of liberation, prema pumartha mahan, is this awakening of love for Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kapunoi Sarabhanadi Suti Chiti Kariya Yudhoi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught that this love is dormant within the heart of every living being. Love for Krishna. It simply needs to be uncovered. By the mercy of Krishna, the sun, the light of Krishna's grace dissipates all the fog of forgetfulness, and our love for Krishna is restored. Beyond birth, beyond death. In the seventh chapter of the tenth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj is speaking to Shukadev Goswami. He's just heard the wonderful story of Krishna's birth, how he advented, and he heard the story of how little baby Krishna, so innocent, he was just laying in the lap of his mother Yashoda. And Putana came to Vrindavan. She was so vicious, most evil. Her intention was to murder little baby Krishna. He was hardly even opening his eyes. He was just born. And Putana was so deceiving that she disguised herself so she looked like a very well-wishing, loving, motherly goddess of fortune. And Srila Prabhupada explained she prepared deadly poison with the intent to kill Krishna. And she lifted up Krishna and started feeding that poison through her breast into Krishna's mouth. And little Krishna, he didn't make any effort. How did he deal with it? He just started sucking. Any baby can suck. He wasn't doing anything extraordinary, he was just sucking. I'm not going to make any special effects for this one. And as he was sucking, he sucked all the poison out. And then somehow or other, he started sucking out her life. But somehow, because Krishna was so attractive, I guess some milk came out or something, because she was screaming. She manifested a gigantic Rakshasi form with her mighty hands that were huge like mountains. She was trying to rip Krishna away from her. And Krishna remained the same size. He was just holding on, and with his little tiny fingers he was squeezing, and it was unbearable to her. She was crying, "Child, leave me, leave me, leave me." And she ran out into the forest. Krishna sucked out her life. She fell. But by Krishna's yogamaya potency, she ran to a forest where Kamsa had his favorite fruit orchard. And she fell and crushed all the fruit trees. And Sukadeva Goswami declares, because Krishna was so innocent, so merciful, she came to him in the most envious, violent, and deceiving mood as a mother. So he took away all the poison of her evilness and cruelty and illusion, and all that was left when she died was some motherly affection. Krishna gave her eternal liberation in the spiritual world as his mother, an assistant of Yashoda. And he did it so effortlessly, in such a way that all the Brijabasis, they didn't see any great Aishwarya or opulence in Krishna, any great strength. They just saw a little baby who must have been saved by Vishnu. So in the 7th chapter, Parikshit Maharaj is saying to to Shukadev Goswami, that people in this world, in this fog of illusion, are so captivated by the material energy and have to suffer so much. But Krishna incarnates again and again in this world because if we can simply become Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Saravana Kirtan, if we just become attached to hearing about Krishna, we become purified. Because Krishna is not different than his name. Krishna is not different than his pastimes. Krishna is not different than the remembrance of Krishna. And Krishna is like the sun, dissipates all the illusion when he arises in our hearts. And therefore, Krishna yada yada hi dharmasya ganyar bhavati bharata, he appears again and again and again to perform such wonderful pastimes to purify our hearts if we just become attached to hearing and chanting. But generally, we're not attracted to hearing Krishna's pastimes. And because we're not attracted to hearing Krishna's pastimes, we are attracted to hearing material vibrations. Herein, Srila Prabhupada writes something very powerful. He says, the root cause of all suffering is we're not attracted to hearing about Krishna. Very simply said. So Parikshit Maharaj, he's giving his realization. Krishna's so merciful. He appears and performs these childhood pastimes as a little baby, as a little boy, so ordinary, because these are so sweet that even people who have no attraction for the pastimes of the Lord's mighty power of Narsingha or Varaha or Vamana, people are irresistibly attracted to this little baby Krishna. Just to attract our hearts. And Parikshit Maharaj, he has this thirst, this lolyam, this eagerness to hear more and more about Krishna's leelas. Sukadeva Goswami tells that when Krishna was about 3 months old, he was just trying to lean and get up. He was laying down, and he was just trying to lean and get up. And this is considered such an auspicious moment for a child's life. It's called Uthana. And seeing little Krishna trying to get up, Yashoda Mai immediately called for a big festival. Such a celebration. Brahmins were chanting mantras and musicians were playing instruments and there were people doing yajnas and all the Brijavasis were dancing. And Srila Prabhupada here explains this is Vedic culture, Vaishnav culture. There's so much love and care. Every single stage of a child's life, there's a celebration because there's such care. Prabhupada says in the Vedic civilization, a baby and a child is never a burden. They're nothing but a joy. And Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport how many different festivals there are at different little technical stages in a child's development. So there was dancing and there was singing and there was the chanting of mantras and there was yajnas going on and Yashoda Mai was so happy, she was carrying Krishna. And at the end of it all, she was not only greeting all the guests, she was asking blessings from everyone, but she also was giving gifts. Nanda and Yashoda were giving cows and giving jewels and giving clothes and giving so many types of auspicious foods. And she was holding little Krishna, Gopal, and she saw Gopal was sleepy. And Srila Prabhupada explains the custom. When a child is sleepy, the mother would lay down with the child. She wouldn't just lay the child down. Because the child has to feel completely comfortable and protected. So Yashoda Mai laid down next to Krishna, and Krishna fell fast asleep. And then Yashoda Mai, because there were so many guests and she had so many duties to perform, she went out and started greeting people and giving gifts to people and talking to people. And meanwhile, little Gopal, before she got up, she put Krishna under a hand cart. On that hand cart, there were heavy utensils. It was a very safe place for Krishna, apparently. But there was an asura named Sakata. Sakata Asura, who was an associate of Kamsa. And he was sent to Gokul specifically to murder little baby Krishna, who was hardly even crawling. He was just learning to lean up. He was a ghost. And a ghost tries to possess some body to fulfill its desires through. So Sakatasura was he was a Rakshasa ghost. Very evil, very powerful. He entered into that cart so that he could crush Krishna. And Yashoda Mai, she just thought it was a regular little cart. It was a big card, actually. She put Krishna. And little Krishna, he became hungry for Yashoda Mai's milk. So he cried. He cried in such a way to attract his mother to feed him her milk. But because there was so much musical instruments and so many mantras being chanted, and Yashoda Mai was so busy taking care of her guests, she didn't hear Krishna crying. So as Krishna was crying, his little leg, just a very small leg, and Prabhupada quotes from the previous acharyas that Krishna's leg was so soft, tender. It was like a brand new little leaf growing from a bush. Did you ever see a tamal leaf when it's just growing? There's nothing softer in the world. It's so soft, so tender. So Krishna's legs were like that. But as he was crying for his mother's milk, he kicked his leg. And that little tiny soft leg happened to hit the wheel of the cart. The wheel broke. The entire cart broke. The wheel flew off the axles. All the wheels fell off the axles. The front of the cart dislocated from the rest of the cart. The whole cart came tumbling down to the ground, and all the heavy utensils came crashing down. It was quite tumultuous. Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, the Brijavasis, they heard this. What happened? They came running, and there they saw Krishna was just laying there on the ground, just as Yashoda Mai put him there. Completely unaffected. And all around him is this metal, utensils, and wood, and wheels, and axles. Nothing touched Krishna. The beautiful thing in this story is this Sakatasura was such a powerful Rakshasa demon. And he was so mystical in his yogic siddhis. But Krishna's killing him, liberating him, was just something on the side. He was actually kicking his leg, not to kill the demon, but because he wanted his mother's milk. He was calling for his mother's milk. That was his purpose. And just in addition to that, he liberated Sakatasura. So when the Brijavasis see this, they are in great anxiety. How is it possible that this cart fell to pieces, crashing down, and Krishna was right under it, and he's not hurt? He's not even injured. There's not even any sign of dirt on him. They were thinking, it must be due to some astrological inauspicious moment, and this cart must have been some ghostly demon, but how is it that Krishna's not hurt? Lord Vishnu must be protecting him. And whenever there was danger, they always wanted to have auspicious ceremonies. So Nanda Maharaj brought Brahmins. And this is a very important part of the story. These Brahmins, Vaishnavas, that Nanda Maharaj called, their character was they had no envy, no jealousy. They had no false pride. They had no untruthfulness. And when a Brahmin has these qualities, not envious, not proud, arrogant, then whatever blessings they give has great power to come true. Otherwise, blessings really don't mean much of anything. So Nanda Maharaj called such pure-hearted, loving Brahmins. And they gave such blessings. And Nanda Maharaj, that's all he wanted, is to bless Krishna. And he was so happy, you know, and to reciprocate with them. He gave them so many cows and so much clothes and so much food and so much everything. And the ceremonies were performed. And meanwhile, Yashoda Mai, she was holding Krishna very tightly in her loving motherly arms, feeding Krishna her milk. Because that's all Krishna wanted. And what is the milk of Yashoda? It's her motherly love. It's the manifestation in which she expresses her motherly love. Here is the supreme absolute truth, the controller of all controllers, Sarveshwareshwara. And he's longing to drink the milk of the love of his devotee. And how Krishna does it? Only in Gokul, only in Vrindavan. When Vamana Dev showed his greatness, he extended his body so that in two steps he could cover the entire universe. When Varaha Dev fought with Hiranyaksha, he manifested a gigantic form and fought a big war. Narasingha Dev, he manifested this form of Narahari to fight with Hiranyakashipu. And it's Ramchandra with his bows and his arrows were fighting Kumbhakarna and Ravana. So we see in all these great avatars, wherever there's paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya jaduskritam, wherever Krishna's annihilating the asuras, he works really hard. But Krishna, we don't see ever in Vrindavan, he just plays. He didn't expand himself to kill Putana. He just, little baby, unrecognizable for the Vrijavasis, except just the most lovable child. Sakatasura just called for his mother's milk, same size. At Brahmandagat, Yashoda Mai, when she was told by Balaram and the others that Krishna had eaten dirt in a secluded place, she was so worried. Gopa, why are you eating dirt? How are you going to keep your health? How are you going to stay alive, a little child eating dirt? I must teach him. You should not eat dirt. Why are you eating dirt? Gopal said, I have not eaten dirt, Mother. Mother said, but you did eat dirt. He said, no, I never ate dirt. Then why your friends are saying? They are lying. But even Balaram, who's your constant associate, who's always on your side, even he is saying you ate dirt. He is lying. Look in my mouth if you don't believe. So she looked in little baby Krishna's mouth. His mouth was this big. And when she looked in, she saw the entire cosmic manifestation. She saw the universe with the planets and the mountains and the oceans and all living beings and the devatas. She looked closer and she saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth. Krishna didn't grow in size. He just opened his mouth like a little innocent child. And then when he closed his mouth and smiled, she became so overwhelmed with motherly affection, she forgot what she just saw. Srila Prabhupada, in one beautiful talk, he's telling how the love of Vrindavan is so sweet. Krishna, to excite the rasa, the ecstatic prema in his devotees, especially in Vatsalya Ras, he keeps them always in anxiety. Prabhupada said, Rohini and Yashoda, they were constantly experiencing the transcendental ecstasy of anxiety. That's wonderful. Usually we don't think of anxiety as something wonderful. So many people take pills to get rid of anxiety. So many people try to do meditation and mindfulness and all these things to be free from stress and anxiety. And here we read Srimad Bhagavatam and we learn when we attain the ultimate perfection, we're always in anxiety. But this is not material anxiety. Anxiety, when it is in our loving care for Krishna, it's billions and trillions of times more sweet and satisfying to the soul than mukti, than the peace, the shanti of liberation. Because it's the reciprocation of our love for Krishna. Viraha bhava. The gopis, their feelings of separation from Krishna. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan to meet with the Brijabasis and ultimately with Sri Radharani and Gopis, He never saw such anxiety. Their separation from Krishna, as they were crying 24 hours a day, just waiting and hoping he would come home. They'd make garlands and make his favorite food, hoping he would come that day, and then he wouldn't come. And they would just continue crying. And Uddhava understood, this is the highest realization of happiness. This is love in its most dynamic form. When Krishna was under that Sakatasura cart, Yashoda Mai wasn't, oh, just see how strong my Krishna is. She was thinking, how helpless my Krishna is. The more Krishna did something great, the more Yashoda Mai would think Krishna's in a helpless state and how he needs me so much. And Nanda Maharaj is thinking how he needs the blessings of the Brahmins so much and how much we must protect him. The greater the things he did, the more they felt he needed them. That is Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami explains this love where Krishna appears to be so ordinary, yet while he's appearing so ordinary, just to induce deeper states of intimacy of the love of his devotees, he's manifesting the supreme powers of the God, of the Absolute Truth. Because all the avatars, Narasingadeva, Varahadeva, Vamanadeva, Parasuram, Matsyakurma, Ramchandra, they're all fully within Krishna. They're all present there. Narayan of Vaikuntha, Vishnu, the maintainer of all creation, Mahavishnu. The powers of all the avatars are in that little baby Krishna under the cart. And even when he's manifesting these powers, he's doing it in such a way that he looks like a helpless little child to not interfere with the affection, the sweetness of the affection of his devotees. Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights with his left hand, the little finger. And all the Brijavasis, 24 hours a day for 7 days, are simply gazing upon him. As the most powerful of all the devatas, Indra, is sending the clouds of devastation. The clouds that devastate entire planets within minutes at the time of Pralaya. And they're aiming their full force on Vrindavan. And Krishna's standing there smiling. Never did it cross their minds that he's God. Never did it cross their minds that he's all powerful. The only thing that they were thinking is, he's so beautiful. He's so sweet. Yashoda Mai is crying that your finger must be hurting so much. His beauty, as he was glancing upon all the Brijavasis, the gopas, the gopis, the cows, the animals, they couldn't see beyond his beauty and his sweetness and his playfulness. And if it was brought to their attention that Garga Muni had said that Krishna is actually just like Narayan, that was just like a sound vibration. It just kind of came and went. Krishna's love and Krishna's hunger to taste the love of the intimacy of his devotees. When Srila Prabhupada was riding in the Jaladuta, surrounded by fog, the boat standing still for hours and hours and hours at a time, seems like a helpless situation. In one place, Srila Prabhupada spoke. He said, when we were crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the boat seemed like a vulnerable little matchbox floating in the ocean. Sometimes waves coming, going up and down, and the boat is... Srila Prabhupada took that journey with the sun of Krishna's grace, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. The prime benediction for all humanity is Sankirtana. The congregational chanting of the holy names. Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. Because all the power, the sweetness, the beauty, the mercy, the love, the pastimes, the abode, the associates of Krishna, Krishna's revealing them all in his holy names. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. This Harinam Sankirtan has descended from Goloka, from the highest realm of spiritual ecstatic love in the Paravyoma of the spiritual world. Kalikale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna descends as an avatar in Kali Yuga in the holy names. Thakur Bhakti Vinod sings, Grihe Thako Vanne Thako Sada Hari Bole Thako Suke Duke Bulo Nako Badane Hari Nam Korore Gai Gora Madhu Sware. This is Lord Chaitanya's song. You can be a grihastha with a wife or a husband, children, working in an occupation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself was that. He had about 10 children. He worked for the as a magistrate in the court system of Bengal and Orissa. Whether you're living at home, or whether you're living in a forest or an ashram as a brahmachari or a sannyasi, those are all details. If you have this spirit of seva, if you rise above envy and arrogance, attachment, fear, and anger, by absorbing yourself in Krishna, by taking refuge in Krishna, then like so many great souls of the past, you will attain love for Krishna. And we can absorb ourselves in Krishna. We can take refuge of Krishna in the association of devotees, hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the glories of the Lord. This is Nam Sankirtan. Enechi asadi maya nashi poralagi harina maha mantra lao tu mimaki. This was Mahaprabhu's message. You are all suffering from the disease of ignorance, illusion. The root cause of all suffering is that forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna. That relationship can be restored by taking this medicine. Harinam Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. But Krishna tells in the next verse, after this Vitaraga Bhayakroda of Bhagavad Gita, he says, Yeyatam mam prapadyante, tams the daiva bhavakamya, mama vartmanu vartante, manushya partha saravasha. As you surrender to me, as you approach me, I will reciprocate accordingly. Tapasya is to be eager, whether we feel it or not, we do it. We are eager to hear about Krishna. We're eager to chant the holy names of Krishna. We're eager to please Krishna. Madbhakta puja vyadika. The greatest distraction to the chanting of the holy names is to disrespect Krishna's devotees. Krishna tells, worship of my devotees, pleasing my devotees is more dear to me than pleasing me directly. And similarly, disrespecting my devotees is far more disturbing to Krishna, displeasing, than if we disrespect him. We're very careful when we come before the deities, at least we should be very careful. If we go on the altar, we do things very nicely because we're afraid of making an aparad. And that's very good. But even better is when we do things very nicely because we want to please Krishna. We want to show our love for Krishna. Samsudhir Haritosha. But we should know that mistreating a devotee is more displeasing to Krishna than displeasing his deity form. So how we treat each other is Vaishnava culture. When we have this culture and we have an eagerness to associate with devotees, to hear and chant in the association of devotees, to serve the deities, to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, to distribute books, to cook prasad, to dance, to chant, whatever we're doing, if we have enthusiasm, eagerness, and Krishna reciprocates. Srila Prabhupada was always so enthusiastic to give us Krishna. And he expected us to be enthusiastic to share what he gave us with each other. And then the fog of all this attachment, fear, and anger, the fog of lust and anger, envy, arrogance, greed, and illusion, it's all dissipated as the divine sun of Krishna's mercy shines through his holy names. This is my class on the marathon. In other words, as people are trying to, what is it, 42 kilometers or something like that, they're running. And they're really running, they're eager to get to the end.
We should be thousands and millions and trillions and quadrillions of times more eager
to come to see Radha Ras Bihari.
That's a marathon. It's not the race to death, it's a race to eternal life. We should even be more eager to come to the Harikatha, to the Bhagavad Gita, to hear the glories and pastimes and teachings of Krishna. We should be more eager for the Sankirtan of the holy names, to read Srila Prabhupada's books.
And one more thing.
We should be so eager to chant our japa.
What if we don't feel it? Tapasya means it doesn't matter if we feel it.
We act it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. With great eagerness, we're trying to taste the sweetness of the holy name for Krishna's pleasure.
And by doing so, Krishna's pleased that we're really making an effort, even when it's difficult for him. Then param drisvani vartate. When Krishna sees we want it so bad, then Krishna gives us that higher taste. Thank you very much.